We begin our service then today with our first hymn, and that will be hymn number 68, The Advent of Our King, and we rise for the last stanza of honor of our Triune God. Let me remain standing as we continue our liturgy, which begins on page 5 of the fourth part of our hymn.
Thank you.
Samuel unto your land, you have brought back the captivity of Jacob. Offering of Judah and Jerusalem, be pleasing to the Lord in the days of old, and against those who oppress the wage earner and his wages, whatever they are, and those who turn aside the alien and do not fear it, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson is written in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning at the first verse of the fourth chapter. Let a man regard us in the manner, in this manner, as servants of Christ and as stewards for the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But for me, it is a very small thing that I should be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things that are hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. So far the epistle. For those who are able, we now rise and continue to speak with gradual responsibly, and at the conclusion sing the triple Alleluia. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
O Lord, you showed your favor to your lamb. You forgave the iniquity of your people. Restore us, O God of our salvation. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Truth springs from the earth. Hallelujah. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies. The Holy Gospel is written in the 11th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the second verse. Said to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So far, the Holy Gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please join me as we make confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed atop page 12.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and dead and buried, and he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We now now continue with our next hymn. 'Once He Came and Blessed,' hymn 74.
By God the Father and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, which was read earlier. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else?" So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Already when we go shopping or go to the mall, we can hear Christmas-themed music. I won't say Christmas music, but Christmas-themed. And pretty soon there's going to be a radio station or two here in the Bay Area where it's just going to be Christmas music all the time. But of course, what passes for Christmas music is more on the nature of Santa Claus and maybe Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Will they add Sven to one of the reindeer troop there from Frozen, or who knows what's going to happen? Anyway, but I can just about bet you one tune that we will not hear either in the malls or over the radio probably will be the last hymn that we have for today. O Lord, how shall I meet thee? How welcome thee aright? You know, with less than 2 weeks to go to Christmas, many people are preparing for Christmas and wondering what it is they will meet. And of course, they're making lists and they're trying to shop for that perfect gift. Parents have a particular problem in finding that gift that they want for their child. Now, I haven't read of anything that is gone to the top of the list that now can't even be found in the stores and people are fighting over. But, you know, that's happened in past years as well. Everybody can agonize over what to get. But in this season of anticipation, when Christmas rolls around and the presents are unwrapped, will there be joy or will there be disappointment? Will people say, it's exactly what I wanted? Or will our inner child say something the equivalent of, oh, socks? You know, in a sense, not too many years after that first Christmas in Bethlehem, John the Baptizer or his disciples, or both, we aren't exactly sure, had some questions about the one whom God had sent to earth. God had sent Jesus to earth, and 30 years after his birth, John had announced to all who would listen that here was Jesus, who was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But now John and his disciples have some questions. And we'll look at their questions, Jesus' response, and our response to that question as well. And this brings me to this morning's sermon topic, should we wait for another? And I'll develop that in 3 points. First, unmet expectations. Secondly, the perfect gift. And thirdly, there is no other. You know, John the Baptist's life was one of preparation. It was one of preparation even before he was born, because God chose him while he was still in his mother's, while he was still in Elizabeth's womb, to be the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. As a matter of fact, when John the Baptizer finally baptized Jesus, John said, you know, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. And John said, Jesus said, that's okay, we'll do it like this. And even after that baptism, John continued to preach a baptism for repentance. He did not exercise seeker services along the Jordan River. But less than a year after John had baptized Jesus, he was thrown into prison by Herod Antipas, who was the ruler of Galilee and Perea and one of the sons of Herod the Great. None of the sons of Herod the Great were great individuals. They were all kind of monsters to a greater or lesser extent, as had been their father. Now, what got John into trouble was that he denounced Herod for marrying his brother's sister, which was against Old Testament law. John also condemned Herod for all the wicked things he had done. And Josephus, a Jewish historian who had written after the destruction of Jerusalem, adds that Herod had imprisoned John because Herod was afraid that John was going to lead a popular revolt against Herod's rule. Now, you know, probably some mixture of all this is correct. First of all, John certainly condemned Herod's moral shortcomings, which were legion, in no uncertain terms. Second, John had about him a number of disciples and others who followed him around. Thirdly, John was tremendously popular with the people. They came out from Jerusalem to be baptized. Matter of fact, even John's enemies came out to be baptized. Fourth, in Herod's mind and in the political thinking of the day, there really wasn't any difference between condemning somebody morally and basically condemning them politically. Herod had John imprisoned in his mountain prison in Machaerus, which was in southern Perea and east of the Dead Sea. Herod frequently visited the fortress, and it seems that while he was imprisoned there, John could have visitors. And as a matter of fact, Herod even had John brought to him so he could talk to him. Herod admired John as a prophet. Didn't admire his moral condemnation, but he admired him as a prophet. After John was imprisoned for about 9 months, John sent some of his disciples to Jesus. Both before and after Jesus' baptism, John had preached a strong message of that the people should repent. John was pointing to Jesus, and of Jesus John said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean the threshing floor. The wheat he will gather into his barns, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. For John and his disciples, things didn't look good. Even Jesus called John the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And where did that get John? Sitting in Herod's dungeon. John had seen the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus. And John was wondering, where was this Messiah? Where was the fire? Where was the cleansing and the throwing of the chaff into the fire? As a matter of fact, probably John and his disciples and a great many of those who followed him thought that the first thing that should be thrown into fire would be Herod himself. But instead of Herod burning with unquenchable fire, John was sitting in prison. And to put it mildly, people were disappointed. It was like a child waiting for a special Christmas toy and then opening the package and saying, oh, socks. But you know, God knew what he was doing. Because in Jesus, God had sent the perfect Christmas gift. John sent his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus a question. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Over the years, theologians have asked the question whether John himself had doubts about Jesus' ministry. Luther himself did not think that John had any doubts, but perhaps John's disciples had doubts. John's disciples were still following John instead of Jesus. Jesus' popularity was increasing. John was in prison. The disciples may have asked, what exactly is going on? However, we can also say that perhaps John had no doubts about who Jesus was, but perhaps he had doubts about what Jesus was doing. There is a difference. Was this the way the Messiah supposed to act? Thus, to put all doubts to rest, Jesus answered John's disciples, and through them, John himself. Jesus said, go and report to John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. To anyone who heard Jesus, they would have known that Jesus was referring to many Old Testament prophecies, most of which, by the way, were given to God's people through the prophet Isaiah, concerning the coming of the Messiah. Thus, we hear some of these prophecies that Isaiah recorded. And on that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of the gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy, and waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah. And hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon. And of course, speaking of the suffering servant, Isaiah writes of him who is to come, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. These were mighty works of power, but they seemingly had not met the expectations, perhaps, of John or his disciples. John wanted the Messiah to immediately begin his reign here on earth with what we would call overturning society. Others would call it revolution. Jesus, however, was overturning society, but not in a way that would meet John's expectations nor the expectations of John's disciples. in all of these mighty deeds, giving sight to the blind, making the dumb speak, making the lame leap like a deer, cleansing the lepers, and even raising the dead, there is something greater than meets the eye. The idea of Jesus overturning the society of his day was centered in his mighty works. All of the healings and teachings which Jesus did had a purpose. In that list of miracles, Jesus was removing the impediments which prevented God's people from worshiping him correctly. For example, the lepers, the lame, and the blind could not worship in the temple. The poor had their worship restricted because they didn't have the wherewithal to pay for the proper sacrifices. The religious leaders thought that all those who were so afflicted had been somehow cursed by God. But Jesus was telling them that even in the midst of all of their afflictions, Jesus, the very Son of God, was coming to each one of them. In his works, Jesus was showing that healing and forgiveness are the same. As he told the blind man who whose friends lowered him through the roof, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk? It would seem that any fool can take up a sword and begin hacking away at society's injustices. And for a while, that can even be really satisfying. As a matter of fact, there are even scriptural passages which can even support that kind of activity to a degree. But ultimately, to take up the sword has to be measured against Jesus' unequivocal words. For all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. It's far more difficult to change society on a one-by-one basis. But that's what Jesus did. He reached out to individuals, healing and preaching. He was forgiving and including. And finally, he went up to Jerusalem, where he was condemned by Pontius Pilate and crucified and died. And on that cross, he took on the sins of the world. He took on our sins. And he died that we might be forgiven, might be included in God's family of faith, might be brought back from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and might be ready to live with him for eternity. Jesus rose again on the third day so that we and all others might have that certainty that indeed there is no other. Jesus told John's disciples what he was all about. And by telling them, in effect, he said to them, there is no other. Elsewhere, Jesus said it in other words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But you know, the problem in this Christmas season is that people think they can get to the Father by other ways. You know, there are world religions that preach that. Muslims believe that if one submits perfectly to God, and by the way, Islam means submission, it doesn't mean peace, then somehow Allah will be all merciful. Buddhists believe that the world is an illusion and that through personal navel gazing, call it meditation, one will find one with the cosmos. Hindus believe that God can be in anything. Worship snakes, rats, elephants. I like elephants, but you can worship elephants. You can even worship Jesus, as long as he isn't the only way. There are many Christian churches who have forgotten about sin and forgiveness and a bodily resurrection, and have put the title MSW after Jesus' name and believe that somehow if you change society, you'll change man. Well, that hasn't worked very well, has it? The two big efforts of changing society in the 20th century were Stalin's Russia and Hitler's Germany. How did that turn out? And of course, even politically, back in 2008, we have the high priestess of beluga whales, Oprah Winfrey, asking about one political candidate, are you the one or should we look for another? without going into politics. Everybody, you know, everybody who went to Sunday school knew what the reference was. But anybody who thinks that any political candidate of any party is the one who will solve the world's ills is, in a word, delusional. Either needs medication or is off medication. The world gives us Santa Claus. I'm sure we all know the words to the song, "You better be good, you better be nice. I'm telling you once, I'm telling you twice, Santa Claus is coming to town." Of course, the unstated assumption in that is Santa's coming to the nice kids and you get toys. What about the unnice? Well, how about a lump of coal? Even though the government wants to close down coal plants. But the point is, while we were yet sinners, not too nice a thought, is it? That we're all sinners. While we were yet sinners, Santa Claus didn't come for us. Muhammad didn't come for us. Buddha didn't come for us. Moses didn't come for us. Krishna didn't come for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But then he rose, and he lives with us, and he still lives to bring comfort to the lonely, the sick, and the poor, and he brings that comfort through the forgiveness of sins. And this forgiveness of sins let the early church revolutionize society by caring and comforting for the sick and the lonely, both physically and spiritually, letting them know that they are not alone and that God is with them and they are included in God's family. By condemning abortion and by condemning exposure of unwanted and crippled children. As a family, we have been gathered in baptism and we are strengthened through the word and the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is because Christ has reached out to us that we can reach out to others. And in this Advent season, there is no other. Only the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus. You know, the days are getting shorter, both in light and the days coming towards Christmas. And there is no better present to be given than the love which Jesus has first shown to us. And this is the most important present that we can share with our families, with our loved ones, with our neighbors, and the world. This is what Jesus showed John in prison. In Jesus, God has given us the forgiveness of our sins, and Jesus is the only way to the Father, which is always the best Christmas present ever. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
thanks and praise for leading your chosen people in the Old Testament times through all the long years of promise, and then fulfilling your word by bringing your only Son into the world for us sinners. Grant unto us such a steadfast faith in your promises that we may rejoice and give thanks evermore. Forgive our sins and remove all of our iniquities. In your great mercy, open our blind eyes and guide our uncertain steps in the paths of righteousness. Cleanse us of impure thoughts, words, and deeds. When we are slow to listen to your word, open our ears to the truth. Uphold us by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we will greet you with joy on the day when our Lord will come again to bring to light the hidden things of darkness and to reveal the hearts of all people. We pray for your church everywhere throughout the world. Grant blessing to your servants who proclaim your word. Give aid and strength to those who are missionaries of the truth, so that all people may come to know you as the only true God and Savior of the world. Rule in the hearts of all people, dear Lord, and guide the decisions of those in authority, so that peace and justice may prevail in our land. Grant that all may learn that only those things which are in harmony with your word are true, good, and enduring. Bless all who are gathered before you this day in the fellowship of the Spirit, especially those here in your house. Be with those who are sick or under any affliction of body, mind, or spirit. Comfort them that they may, through their trials, learn of your gracious power and readiness to help them in every time of need. To this end, we especially pray for Nancy, Roy, Cheryl, Jean, Marlene, John, Linda, Carla, Kurt, Lee, Rose, Sue, our neighbor, Carolyn's friend, Sue, John Bruce, Richard, Ruth, James, Chloe, and Dagny, Doug, Pastor List, Pastor Carp, and those who are whose names in our hearts which we lift up unto you now. We would ask that you would continue to watch over and comfort our brothers in the faith in India who are suffering from floods. We would ask that you would be with your church and give those congregations who are calling and those who have been called an extra measure of your Holy Spirit, so that those who have been called may see where their talents best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and that those who are calling may not lose heart in their vacancy. Be with all those who are traveling this day to services, set your holy angels over them, and grant them a safe journey. All these things, and whatever else you see that we need, dear Lord, we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray, and who has also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. That by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end.